Grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The title for today's message is, Oh No, Not a Sermon About Money. The sermon outline is on the bulletin insert. Money, a hot topic, isn't it? A lot of people don't like to talk about it, especially at church. It's a hot potato. But in today's gospel reading, Jesus says, No servant can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was a finance major in university and an accountant for 16 years. Now, as a new vicar here at Trinity, I found that the first lesson for my sermon, first sermon, is also about money. It is one of the most difficult things to deal with in our daily life. I remember when I first started working for China Civil Engineering and Construction Company, I joined a 5-person team that managed $100 million. That meant that 5 of us managed 1 out of $50 foreign money in all of China. Wow, what's a big job. Of course, the banks and the investment companies invited us out very frequently. They wanted to be our friends. Now, many Chinese are quite rich. I can feel this enrichment. Warehouses' prices are 3 or 4 times that of St. Catharines, Ontario, where we used to live. Is this why our city is called Richmond? Luxury cars are all around when one drives on the street. Everything is quite expensive. Why? Because a lot of rich people have come to Richmond. However, in today's gospel reading, Jesus warns us and also warned his disciples, No servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. So between God and money, which do we love the most? Which do we serve first? Which do we trust? I know many of you would say, I trust God and Jesus Savior. Jesus Christ, my Savior. So easily we say, I trust you, O Lord. But in this world, especially in Vancouver area, it's not so easy to pay the bill, right? If money isn't there, how can I pay? When our family goes to the store, our boys see all the things for sale there and often say, I want this, I want that. For them, it is simple, but not for us. My dear, that costs money to buy, we tell them. Where does money come from? Everything needs money. If there is no money, how can I pay for the rent, for my children's education, for the retirements? Wow, it's a long list. Yes, it is so easy to say, I trust you, Lord, but facing this long list, let us ask ourselves, do we really trust him? In today's Old Testament reading, the Lord speaks against Israel through Amos. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end. You say to yourself, we can hardly wait for the holy days to be over so that we can sell our grain. When will the Sabbath end so that we can start selling again? Then we can overcharge, use false measures, and fix the scale to cheat our customers. We can sell worthless wheat at the high price. We will find the poor man who cannot pay his debts, not even the price of a pair of sandals, and we will buy him as a slave. In order to get more wealth, Israel not only offers wheat for sale on the Sabbath, but also use dishonest measurement. They cheat the poor and needy to make more money. The people observe the religious ceremonies, but wear their heart and their mind. They cannot wait to get back to work and make some more money. God delivered them from slavery in Egypt and led them to the promised land where flows the milk and honey, and saved them from enemies again and again when they were in danger. Still, they keep forgetting God's wonderful deeds and promise. Just remember when Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive 10 commandments. What they do, the Israelites, they turn from God to make a golden calf and worship it instead. Have you ever thought where the gold come from? Don't forget, they have been slaves just escaped from Egypt. Yes, where is the gold come from? Exodus chapter 12 records, the people of Israel did as Moses told them. They asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelries and for clothing. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. It was God who forced the Egyptians to give them farewell gifts, gold and silver jewelry and fine clothing. See what the Israelites did with the gold God gave them. They made an idol and worshipped it. What about us? How do we use the treasures God has given us? How many of us this morning already want this worship service to be over? Like Israelites, we too want to go back to the real world of work and money. We are no better than the Israelites. Even though God provides everything for us, when we face some difficulties, we begin to doubt and turn our focus away from God. This is because of the sinful nature in all of us. This sinful nature we inherited from Adam and Eve, our ancestor who fell for the devil's temptation. As a result, we are fearful and anxious about the uncertainty of this world, including money. However, God is ever faithful and does not forsake us. He loves us so much that he found a way for us. Through Jesus' precious blood, God purchased us back and gave us new life. He gave us all we need. Listen what Jesus said. Do not be anxious about your life. And again, I take care of the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. How much more do I care for you than for the sparrows? In Jesus' eyes, we are more valuable than anything else in this world. St. Paul says in 1 Timothy, God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Ransom, as you know, is the money paid for paid to free a prisoner, a hostage. Jesus is the payment that God made to release you and me from sin and its consequences, which is eternal death in hell. God purchased us back only because His love and mercy. God promised you this. I am the good shepherd who keeps you and loves you. I will always be with you. I will be there when you are in hospital. I will be there to comfort you when you lost the loved one. I will send the angel when you are in need. I will be there to forgive your sins and give you a new start. I will be there to lift you up to heaven. I am the only God, and you can trust. Let me ask you this. Are you really lacking material things? I remember when Pastor Benoit, the president of the Lutheran Church of Haiti, came to speak in St. Catharines last year. He said to us, "You in Canada are blessed. You have food. You have nice food, even hamburgers." Oh, we don't only have hamburgers. For many, the hamburger is just a fast food. Some even call it junk food. No, we have roast and steaks, Chinese dumplings, dancing, and what a variety of desserts. The fresh vegetable and fruit. How about last week of potluck? What a spread. Even a roast pig. In Haiti, normal people are happy if they can have one meal a day, a half bowl of rice with beans, which only costs 25 cents. After earthquake this year, Pastor Benoit reported to our Haiti Lutheran Mission Society that thousands of Lutherans were without a home, and 55 of his congregation alone are gathering for worship without a church building, even in the rainy season. Here in Canada, we have so much. All we have, God has given us. God has given us time, our position, and money. Not only that, also He has given us faith, forgiveness of sins, eternal life. God made us rich. But how do we manage what God has given us? Can we say we are not wasting His blessing? In today's gospel reading, what did the steward do with his master's money? The charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his master's possessions. Yes, we have done the same. It is not easy to trust and follow Jesus. In today's world, we want a big house, a big boat, a big money, a big everything. There is nothing wrong with having those things, but you cannot let them control you. They cannot be your God. Paul says, the love of the money is the root of all kind of evil. Let us not love money, but let us love our God who gives us all that we have and all that we need. So whatever circumstances we are in, let us ask God to increase our faith and trust in Him. Let us ask God to help us be satisfied with what He provides. Let us ask God to guide us to use our time, our ability, and our money wisely for the glory of His kingdom. Each of us here can ask ourselves, how can I better use and give my resources for the gospel ministry of Trinity Lutheran Church? In today's reading, Gospel, Jesus praised the dishonest steward for being clever. But that doesn't mean Jesus approved of his action. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 8. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. This means that unbelievers often use their money better for worldly purposes than believers do for godly purposes. Jesus wants us to handle our money and worldly possessions wisely and at the same time in a God-pleasing way. If money controls us, it threatens our loyalty to God. God Himself will lead us how best to use His gifts to support the gospel, such as reach out our neighbors and friends, helping the poor as you did through the food bank recently, supporting the work of church and the overseas mission work. Imagine a very generous grandfather or uncle gives you $1,000. After a while, he comes to you and kindly asks you to give 100 to a starving child. Of course, you would do that. You would think, if he gave me 1,000 freely and only asked this one favor, of course I would. I believe you will be very willing to give the children 100 or even more. Isn't God like that generous man? He gives us all we need for this life and the life eternity. In Jesus Christ, we have been given the riches of the heaven. And now God invites us to share these riches with others. Listen to what he says in Malachi chapter 3. Will a man rob God? Yes, you rob me. How? In tithes and offerings. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the flood gates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. When it comes to trust God, He wants not just 10 or 20 or 50%. He wants us to trust Him 100%. if we trust wealth, one day we will have nothing. But with Jesus, we are dealing with real riches. Jesus is our only real and lasting riches. So you see, this was not just or not another sermon about money. It was really about trusting Jesus, who is our real riches. When we face the question Jesus asked us, do you trust me? Let us reply from our heart, yes, Lord, you have done everything for me. In the word of the beautiful old hymn, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee, trusting thee for full salvation, great and free, in the name of Jesus. Amen.